Welcome back to the show, guys. It's your host, Victoria, and this episode is going to get you thinking about whether or not your website is costing you dearly. So, without further ado, let's get into today's show.
This is the Branding Business School Podcast, the go-to business and marketing podcast for ambitious women looking to start and scale profitable businesses. Learn from your host, Victoria Marcoulier, how to build a powerhouse brand in this online era without sacrificing your sanity or misplacing your priorities. We support the dreamers and the disruptors and are showing up weekly to teach you practical advice on what it takes to become the go-to in your industry. Operating an online business as a female entrepreneur looks different these days, and thanks to us, so does business school. Welcome to the Branding Business School Podcast.
All right, friends, this episode is going to ruffle some feathers, but that's okay. I feel like without getting our feathers ruffled every once in a while, we're very rarely moved to take action in areas that we probably need to take action on in our business. And this is the Branding Business School Podcast, right? We're trying to teach you the things that are going to help you start and scale powerhouse brands online. And that starts with your website. So the first reason that your website could be costing you dearly, this one's going to be a little bit out of left field here. It's that you don't have a website. Okay. I have to address this one first, because if you don't have a website, you are so drastically stifling the growth of your business. I can't even tell you. Now, I understand, let me give my disclaimer. I understand not everybody can go and invest thousands of dollars to work with a professional web design agency right now to, you know, get their online presence up there in those early days of starting your business. But it's 2024. You have no excuse, my friend. The amount of website builders out there that have free plans available, that have free drag and drop builders, that have free templates, there's just no reason not to have a website in 2024 if you are selling a service or a product online, okay? So that is step one. If you don't have a website, keep on listening, because you're going to learn some things not to do when you're building your website. But I would strongly urge you, even if it's a landing page, okay? There is such a, in my mind, I know I'm a web designer, but I've spoken with a lot of different business owners, and I think this is pretty true of the online landscape nowadays. If you have a business and someone does a little bit of research on you and tries to find you online, and the only thing popping up is like a Facebook page or an old TikTok that's linked to like your personal account, that is going to say something about your business, okay? And it's probably not saying what you want to be said of your business. It's not saying professionalism. It's not saying you're legit. It's not saying credible. It's not saying spend money here, right? It's probably putting up warning signs. And it's costing you a lot of business. Let me tell you just some real life examples that are currently happening in my own business. But there are some vendors that I have worked with over the time. There's an SEO specialist and just a handful of vendors that I have worked with that have been reaching out to me and saying like, hey, I would love to partner with you and your business, and you know, I can serve your clients in this way, and you know, we could do white label work together or whatever. And I might hop on a call with them and like learn from them and say, wow, like, yes, you're so talented. Like, I have full confidence that you could help my customers. But if they don't have a website, I cannot tell my clients to go and use somebody, right? Like, the reason my clients are coming to me and investing thousands of dollars to work with Brandwell is because they know the importance of an online presence. They know how first impressions matter, right? And that making a strong first impression is going to allow you to command a higher price point for your offers. And so to partner with other people that maybe don't share those values, that don't care to invest in their online presence, I don't think it matters when it really, really does. It doesn't feel like the right fit. So I've not been able to refer my clients to certain people that I think would be great fits because they don't have a website. And I personally, at the level of service that we're offering our clients and really the price point that we're working in at Brandwell, I don't feel comfortable being like, here's so-and-so's Gmail address, just reach out to her. I promise she's great, right? Like, that's not what my clients are looking for. And that's probably not what your prospective clients are looking for either. So having a website is a crucial, crucial part of really any business, even if you're not an online business, even if you are a wedding photographer and everything you do is in person, you want to have a website, guys. Build your credibility. Let there be something that that shows up in a Google search when they're looking for you. Even if it's simple, if it's a one pager, if it's the best that you can do with your DIY, I would go ahead and get a website up immediately if you do not have one. And then that should be one of the very first things that you invest in your business, because you're investing in something that's going to generate leads for your business, which means it's going to generate income for your business. And it's always best to invest in the things that are going to bring you back a high return. So your website should be one of the first investments that you make when you're ready. And that is the first reason why it's costing you dearly, is that you just don't have one. But the rest of them, I promise, pertain to the websites that you do have, because I know most of you tuning in today have a website. Okay, reason number two why your website might be costing you dearly is because it is severely outdated. Nowadays, we kind of live in a world where the Instagram algorithm refreshes every second. Every time that you swipe your thumb down, you can get new content in front of you that was created seconds ago. And that's true of all social media platforms that we spend so many hours a day on. And that has kind of trained our brains to not care about content that feels outdated or old to us. And unfortunately, 6 months now is outdated or old. I think there used to be a time where you could get in and update your website a couple of times a year and it'd be fine. You'd be ahead of the curve doing that. Those days are long gone, my friend. Nowadays, you need to be consistently updating your website. I do have a couple hacks on how you can do this rather passively. If you're consistently showing up on social media, then make sure that your social media is linked to your website. You know, in most every website that we design for clients, we have their Instagram bar pulled up in the footer of their website. So even if they're not getting in and updating their website every month, it looks like it's been updated within the last few days because they're posting on social media, and that's automatically going onto their website. Another great way to do this is if you have a podcast, if you have a YouTube channel, if you have a blog, just keep active with it and put it on your website. You know, one of the best actions that I did a couple of years ago was I was recording a weekly podcast episode. I've been recording a weekly podcast episode for about 3 years, and I saw the opportunity like, hey, listen, I don't really have time for blogging. Blogging's not very important to me, but I know that having a quote unquote blog on my website and just keeping the content on my website refreshed is so important. It's important to Google, which is important to me because Google is the one that brings me a lot of business every year. So what we did is myself and my podcast manager, we would just turn the podcast into show notes. To be honest, before I was able to hire somebody to write out the show notes and, you know, make it actually sound like a human wrote it, I just used the free transcription software that my podcast host gave to me. And I would just transcribe it. I'd like quickly skim and make sure that my business name wasn't spelled incorrectly or something. And then I would throw those on my website. And that way, when someone came to my website, you could see that within the last couple of weeks, there was something updated and fresh. And that tells people that you're actively in business, you're actively serving clients, and that you are, you know, not letting your website grow stagnant. Sometimes I'll land on a website, and if I see that the last blog post was from 2022, I'm going to assume that this person went out of business, okay? And that's very rarely even a correct assumption, but that's what people are thinking. So it's sometimes actually going to be better for you to hide really outdated content. Even if it's bringing you traffic, that's great. You don't have to hide it from search engines. Just pull it under the not linked section of your website, because if you have really, really outdated stuff, then it's probably telling your customers that you're not actively operating your business, which is not what you want people to think. Something I also do just to keep my website looking refreshed and updated that takes 2 seconds every month is we have an announcement bar on our website, and I will change it every single month to say now booking clients for March and April. And that way, if somebody lands on my website in March or April, then they know, oh my gosh, she's actively booking clients. That literally takes me 2 seconds to do, but it shows people immediately when they land on my site that like this is relevant. This has been updated recently. And they're going to feel like they're in the right place and like they didn't land on somebody's site who is no longer offering their service actively. Okay, number three, you have broken links on your site. So when we get inquiries on our website for people wanting to invest in branding or website design, we ask them, if you have an existing website, please paste the URL below. And so before I or my COO, Lauren, before we ever get on that initial consult call with a prospective client, we look at that website if they sent one to us, and we look at all the pages. We're just trying to learn more about the person that we may end up working with and, you know, set the stage for the call that we're about to have. But I cannot tell you how many broken links that I see. And I'm not talking like a hidden broken link in a random blog post from 3 years ago. I'm talking like the main contact form in the header is not working. Or one of the most common ones. So this is going to be your homework assignment today, is to go to your website and scroll to the footer. If you have social media links in your footer and they're linking to like Wix's social media accounts or Squarespace's social media accounts, please change it to go to your account. Okay. That's a really, really common one. Or if you've changed your Instagram handle recently and never updated that connection, just make sure that the links are working. I think it's really off-putting if we're talking about like businesses that work B2B. Okay. So I own a business that's B2B. I serve other business owners with website design and branding. And because primarily at Brandwell and through the Branding Business School, we're helping service-based female entrepreneurs, I'm going to guess that a lot of you are doing like coaching or you know, different type, like financial planning, CPAs, you know, real estate. You're working with a lot of other business owners. When we as a business are seeking to hire a professional to give us professional services, we are very turned off by things being broken, right? Links being broken. I mean, for goodness sakes, if you are a web designer, please, please, please just do this. I have been horrified a couple of times over the last 5 years when somebody has pointed out a broken link for me on my website, because I'm like, oh my gosh, if I have a broken link on my website, I know that that means other people who find that broken link are going to think that a website that I designed for them is also going to have broken links. And that's going to be a major red flag for them. It's going to be a major turnoff, and they're probably not going to hire me. So that could cost me thousands of dollars. One broken link could cost me thousands of dollars. But here's the thing, guys, I totally understand. People aren't paying us to work on our own websites, right? They're paying us to work on theirs. And I'm obviously sticking with the designer example here. So it's understandable why we neglect certain things within our own business, because nobody's paying us to do it. But if you think of it this way, that if you get these things right, you're going to be generating income from it, then somebody is paying you to do it. You just don't get that money up front, if that makes sense. The fourth point is that you have a really poor user experience. So this is a tricky one, because if you're not a web designer and you are going the DIY route, which again, I do think that's better than not having a website at all, but I understand it's still not ideal. You might not be trained in UX. You don't know what makes a good user experience on a website. Well, I'm going to try in a couple of minutes to at least give you a few pointers that will help you really think about the customer on the other end of the screen when you're putting together your website. Quick break to tell you guys about today's sponsor, which is HoneyBook. You guys know I love me some HoneyBook. This has been the CRM of Brandwell for 3.5 years, almost from day one, you guys. And I don't know how we would be operating without it. So HoneyBook is a client flow platform that was designed specifically for the modern business owner. I think it's ideally made for the modern day service provider. From the initial inquiry to the final payment, you can literally do everything in HoneyBook. They manage our proposals, our contracts, our invoicing, our financial reports, and then most importantly, our client communication back and forth. Everything is streamlined in one place that I can log into and see where a project is at any given time. All of my team can log in. You can give people different permissions and roles based on what their unique role is on the project at hand. It's just an awesome platform. Go check it out. I have a 50% off discount code for you if you want to try out HoneyBook your first year at 50% off. We'll link it in the show notes for you. Just try it. It's amazing. First and foremost, people need to know immediately when they land on your website what you do and who you serve. Okay, that's like so basic, but I feel like some people just assume that if somebody's coming to our website, they already know who we are and who we serve because they followed us on social media for a year. That's not always the case, you guys. You have to remember that a website can and should be your number one lead generating machine for your business, and people might stumble across your website by accident. So tell them who you are. Tell them who you serve. When you land on Brandwell, hold on, I'm going to pull it up right now, actually. I'm sorry I don't know this off the top of my head. But when you land on Brandwell's website, it says designing for the service-based female entrepreneur. That's the eyebrow header. And then it says strategic brand and website design for women who want to stand out and sell more. Okay, so I think it's pretty clear. And then behind that, I know you can't see what I'm looking at right now, but behind that is a picture of me and my all-female team. Okay, so we are conveying a lot about Brandwell in the first 3 seconds of landing on our website, and you should be doing the same for your business. Have a really captivating image, or even better, have a cool video in the background of your header there on your website, and then have a strategically crafted headline that outlines exactly what you do and who you serve. I think we've gotten a little carried away with our creative and catchy headlines, and even maybe AI is responsible for some of this, but like, we can't have the headlines that just say like, empowering you to live your best life. Like, come on, like how are you empowering me to live my best life? By treating me to a coffee in the morning, or by offering business coaching to help me scale my business to 7 figures, right? Like there's some things that we leave a little bit too vague, and people want information spoon-fed to them these days. They don't want to have to look around, and the better that you can spoon-feed your audience what they're looking for, where it's exactly what they want, right? It's exactly what they're looking for, but they just didn't have to work too hard to get that information, the better your website will convert. So that's just like the first hack, is make sure that you tell people right away through imagery and words exactly what you do and who you serve. And then secondary to that, make sure you have calls to actions. Never leave a dead end on your website. You want to make sure after every section, whatever you're highlighting, there is then a call to action. What's the next step? So for us, right after that headline that I shared with you, it says view pricing and services, because we know nobody's going to hire a web designer without first looking at the pricing, right? Because web design is one of those things that you can go on Fiverr and spend a couple $100, or you could hire an agency and spend tens of thousands. So we know that for our client, they need to know the pricing and the packages that we have to offer before they would even consider scheduling a consult call. So that's our primary CTA right there. But at different stages of our website, we have different CTAs, knowing that, okay, by now, all right, they're on our pricing and services page. They've looked at our deliverables. They know the packages that we have to offer. Now we know the next step is for them to schedule a consult call. So that's what the CTAs on that page would look like. So just make sure that you're telling people what you do and who you serve, and that you're having really clear CTAs, which are just really clear next steps. It's kind of like if somebody walks into your store, if you have a brick and mortar, what would you do? You would greet them. You would say like, hey, you know, we're so glad that you came into our store. We are selling whatever. You know, if you have a sale going on, it's like, we have a sale where all of our jeans are 50% off today. Let me know if I can help you find anything, right? And then they're in the dressing room, they're trying something on, and you go over there and you say like, hey, can I get you another size? Did these work out? Would you like me to go ahead and you know, bring these up to the front for you while you continue to shop? It's this idea of just like kind of coming alongside your customer and helping them at every stage of their journey, of getting to know what you have to offer, why you're the right fit for them, and then making it very easy to purchase when they feel that the time is right. Okay, and number 5, I have to touch on this one because it's just so important, and it came up today, which is actually what inspired me to hit record on this podcast rather spontaneously, is if your website screams DIY, it's costing you dearly. This becomes even more of an ordeal if you are selling, again, B2B, or if you're selling in the high ticket range. So if you're selling something that's like $50 or less, you can get by with a DIY. I still think it's costing you sales, but I think that maybe people are a little bit more comfortable investing like $10, $20, $30, $40, $50 with somebody's site who looks a little bit haphazard than they are spending hundreds or thousands of dollars with somebody who it looks like they don't invest in their own business, all right? Because that's the whole thing. When you have a professionally designed website where it is evident that you have invested in your business, that gives people confidence to then invest with you as well. Because if they know, oh, she's actively investing in her business, so she believes in this business. This is not like a little side hustle that we're trying out here that may go out of business in the next 3 months while I'm trying to work with her. That's not the case, right? So we're trying to set the tone for the price that you're about to pay. And if you have a higher ticket item and your website does not align with the pricing that you're asking people to pay, you're going to be losing using sales on a daily basis. One of the examples I've used before is like going into a restaurant, right? Like the restaurant itself is going to set the tone for the price that you're going to pay to eat there. If you walk into a restaurant that has dim lighting and white tablecloths and the hostess is wearing, you know, a blazer and a white button down, you know I'm going to spend more than $50 on my meal tonight, right? Like you just know that this is going to cost a little bit more money. If you walk into a restaurant that has bright fluorescent lights on, it's got loud music playing, there's like kids running around everywhere, you know there's probably going to be something on the menu under $15. So in the same way that the atmosphere and, for lack of a better term, the vibe kind of sets the precedent for what you're going to spend, that's true of your website too. Your website is setting the tone for your price point. And the higher your price point, the better your website should be. Let me give you an example of somebody who lost an opportunity. And I don't say this in like a hoity-toity way, but I get pitches every single day in my email for guests who want to come on my podcast. And it's always like from agencies. It's not the guests themselves, but an agency will say like, hey, Victoria, you know, love listening to your podcast. There's, which honestly, I know these are all templated emails. So don't think, I know that they're not actually listening to all my podcast episodes, but you know, they do their whole pitch thing and they're like, I'd like to recommend so-and-so, like she does this, this, and this. And a lot of these women look awesome. Like they've got a cool resume. They've got an awesome service in a unique industry. And then I'll go to their website and I'm like, oh my gosh, this person looks like they started their business yesterday. Like their website is just so disconnected from everything I just read about them in the pitch that somebody sent me. And most of the time, arguably 100% of the time, I just say, I'm sorry, this is not a good fit for the podcast. Because on the Branding Business School podcast, I want to elevate women who understand this, right? Especially if they're being brought in as like, you know, this person is an expert in her field and, you know, has all this experience. Those people, I want them to have a website where we can confidently send our listeners and say, hey, go learn more here, you know? And if I can't do that with confidence, if I'm going to send them to a website that makes the person that I just had a guest on my podcast, that makes them look like a side hustler, like a DIYer, like somebody who really doesn't care about online presence, doesn't really care about visual branding, then I feel like I'm doing you guys a disservice, right? Because I want to bring on people that are also in alignment with the idea that your online presence, your brand visuals, they matter so much. I know they matter for my business. I know they matter for yours. And I want to have other people on the show that also value that and that can also attest to the way that that's impacted their business. You guys know on a lot of my guest interviews, I ask them like, how has branding, you know, allowed you to stand out in a saturated market? And how, you know, how have your differentiators allowed you to charge more? Because I know that that's a huge component in having a brand online these days. So if you have a website that screams DIY, you're not only losing money, it's not costing you dearly, you know, just monetarily, but it's probably costing you opportunities as well. So there you have it, guys. 5 reasons your website is costing you dearly. I know that might have felt like a little bit of tough love today, but this is a topic I'm just really passionate about. Of course, I own a web design agency, so this is stuff that I work with day in and day out. But I think the reason I'm so passionate about this is because I've seen the transformation that happens when you do have a professional website that was strategically designed to attract your ideal customers and to convert them into clients of your business. So I'm going to do something fun. If you have an existing website and you want to do a website audit with me, I'm going to do free website audits for the entire month of April after this episode airs. So you can send me an email, victoria@brandwelldesigns.com, and I will review your website and just give you a quick like 2 or 3 minute audit of just some ideas that I have for you, some pointers that I have for you on how you can level up either yourself or if you wanted to set up a consult with Brandwell, you know we are always here for that as well. But I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. I hope we gave you something to think about, something to work on today to get you one step closer to having a powerhouse brand. And I will see you back here next week.
Thanks for tuning in to the Branding Business School podcast. If you're looking to take your business to the next level, subscribe to the podcast and we'll continue to cheer you on week after week by giving you practical advice on how to build your brand. For show notes or to learn more about what we covered in today's episode, head to thebrandingbusinessschool.com/podcast. And remember, you don't need an MBA to be the CEO